this recession is not ending, and it's not going to end until we change the system. We'll have blips, we'll come out of it for a while, but we're going to keep going into it, because what we have created here, this predatory capitalism, that's the word Omar used, and it's a word I use now all the time. That's what's happened, is we've fallen into this predatory capitalism. And it really started in the 70s when I was an economic hitman. We started using it overseas. It became prevalent in this country when Ronald Reagan in 1980 embraced Milton Friedman's form of economics from the Chicago School of Economics. Up until that point, every president, including Nixon, Nixon said, "I'm a Keynesian." Every president up until that point had embraced John Maynard Keynes' form of economics, which is quite compassionate and says government has a huge role to come in and protect the people against abuses by corporations. But Friedman, basically, his policy, if you boil it down to its simplest, is it has three premises. One is that the only responsibility of business is to maximize profits in the short run, regardless of the social and environmental costs. That's the only responsibility of business, is to maximize profits. The second premise is that businesses shouldn't be regulated, because that just gets in the way of making profits. And businessmen shouldn't be regulated. Executives have some divine ability to always do the right thing. They don't need to have laws governing them like the rest of us. And the third premise is that everything should be run by private business. The schools should be privatized, the jails should be privatized, the military should be privatized. So today in Afghanistan, we've got more private military people than government military people. And this form of economics, which is predatory, is brand new. When I was in business school in the 60s, I was taught, and this is based on John Maynard Keynes' form of economics, I was taught that a good CEO looks out for the best interest of his company in the long run. It's about sustainability of the company, not quick profits. A good CEO looks out for the best interest of his customers, his employees, his suppliers, and the community. His company is supposed to be a good citizen. This is what I was taught in business school in the 60s. But that all changed when we embraced this new form of capitalism, predatory capitalism. And today, what we find is that this has created us a world that is there to give the rich and powerful more riches and more power while screwing the rest of us. And we've also come to a situation that's totally untenable. All we can say about the economics that we've created is that it's a failure. There's no other way to describe it. We live in a country where about 5%, less than 5% of the world's population lives in the United States. We consume more than 25% of the world's resources. That's a failed, that's not even a model. It's a failure. You cannot pass this on to Africa or Latin America or the Middle East or anywhere else. For the whole world to adopt this model, we'd have to have five more planets just like this one without any people. So we've got a failure, a totally failed system. It's not working, and it's not going to work, and we're not going to fix it by staying on this path. We have to come up with something new, and we must do that. You and I must do that. And then, you know, it's exciting to, first of all, to be here together tonight talking about this, because I'm convinced we're going to do it. And I have a 2-year-old grandson. Whenever I hold this baby in my arms and look down at him, I think, what is this world going to look like when he's my age, 6 decades from now? And if we stay the course, it'll be really ugly. But I think we have a tremendous opportunity here to really turn this thing around. And so I want to spend most of the rest of tonight talking about this. And hoodwinked about, you know, a good share of this book, at least half of it, is devoted to how we can turn this around. It talks about basically 5 approaches that we can all participate in, or you as an individual could focus on one. And I will mention a couple of these tonight, but I can't get into the kind of detail I do in the book. But I'm very convinced that we can we can turn this thing around, and we must. Now, I think something very important to address here is if we've created an empire, the first non-militarized empire in the world, and there's plenty of military out there, but that's not for the most part how it was created. Who's the emperor? And an emperor is not elected, doesn't report to anybody, and has basically total control over his realm. Well, we know that our presidents are not in that category. But I think we can say that the people who run our biggest corporations, who I call the corporatocracy, do satisfy that. They're not elected, they don't serve limited terms, they don't report to anybody. They like to say they report to their boards, but in fact, they all serve on each other's boards. So the boards just kind of rubber stamp what the emperor wants. And we're at a time in history that's very much like when the city-states became nations, except this time, the nations have become irrelevant. It's the big corporations that are driving the system. So during most of my lifetime, we could look at the globe as, you know, this big globe, and it had something like 200 countries, of which a few have a lot of power. The United States, the Soviet Union, the British Empire at various times. But that's changed now. Today we can look at the geopolitics more like the same globe with some 200 countries, but these huge clouds drifting around the globe that know no national borders, that don't follow any specific sets of laws. These are the big corporations. They're calling the shots everywhere. They form partnerships with the Chinese and the Taiwanese and the Tibetans, with the Israelis and the Arab nations, with whoever has the resources they covet or the markets that they want, and they don't care about anything else in there.